This evening, as we start our lesson, we're looking at a question from a song that you may or may not have heard. I'm guessing you have heard this song. How shall the young secure their hearts? And we're not doing question and answer. I know that when we read Psalm 119, some of you are like, he's going to do question and answer. No, we're not doing question and answer, so... How shall the young secure their hearts is what we're looking at tonight. And it will surprise you, probably maybe not surprise you, that the same way that the young secure their hearts, the middle-aged, the old, the in-between, the young adults, the millennials, everybody secures their heart the same way. Just so you know, this is not something just for the young folk this morning, this evening. So as we look at this passage, how can the young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Right, and that's a lot in one verse. That's a lot in one passage. We have to go to the Word of God, obviously, in order to do that. We look at God's Word and what He says. We need to make sure that we're educating children on God's Word, educating ourselves, and always learning and doing more. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 26, there was this statement that was made. And when your children say to you, "What does this right mean to you?" There are moments throughout Israel's history that these kind of things came up. And this was in the connection with the Passover feast, and later on, even future expectation was there that children would ask questions. Children are really fond of asking questions. You know that age they go through where everything's a question? Where they, what is this? What does this mean? What is this? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Right? There's questions that they ask about everything, but God knew that was going to happen. And when your children ask, brush them off and minimize their question. And move on. No. When your children ask, what are we doing? What does this mean? Take that time to teach them. God helped us leave based on this Passover feast. That's in Exodus chapter 12, verse 26. And then we see again in Deuteronomy chapter 6. There's so much in Deuteronomy that Moses is trying to get across with the people. Get them to understand, because he knew he wasn't going into that promised land. And there are things that, there's essentially three sermons there in Deuteronomy as he presents this message to them. And one of the things he mentions is what are we doing with our children? What are we doing with educating them? And he says, these words which I am commanding you today in Deuteronomy chapter 6 shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them and diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and this shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And in a lot of ways, they took this very literally. But we see here in this passage that our heart needs to be engaged in learning. Our heart needs to be engaged in understanding God's Word. Our heart needs to be there. You shall teach them when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up. Is there any moment when it's not a good time to teach God's Word? According to this passage, no. There's always a moment, unless they're sleeping, obviously, but there's always a moment when God's Word can be taught. There's always times when we can take a moment and teach them about God's Word. And likewise, there's always something we can learn as adults. If we're paying attention, there's always things we can learn in life and about God and about our relationship to Him. In Joshua chapter 4, they get to finally cross the Jordan River. They've been camped out for a while, just kind of waiting. And the people across the Jordan had been there in the land of Canaan, kind of trembling, wondering what this great multitude of people was going to do. And Joshua talks to them about crossing the Jordan River, and that when they crossed, that God was going to stop the water. And when He stopped the water, every tribe was to pick up a stone. These were not like little small stones. If you want a memorial stone, how big do you want your memorial stone to be, right? You want a big memorial stone. And maybe there was a competition, like, you know, the first tribe went through and they picked up a stone, and the next tribe's like, we're going to get one bigger than that, right? Because humans do that. We do that just naturally. But they picked up stones from the bottom, the riverbed. We don't have big flowing rivers in Florida, but some of you have seen big flowing rivers. And what happens to a stone when it's had water wash over it for many, many years. Water, it becomes smooth, it becomes something. It's very distinct from the stones that are even on the shore, from those that are in the riverbed. And so they take these stones up and they make them, they become this monument. Let this be a sign among you so that your children are asked later, saying, what do these stones mean? This is an eternal memorial to how God has taken care of us. There are things we don't tell our children, right? Do we share with our children our bank account numbers and just how life maybe is really real? We don't share that level of detail, right, with our children. But there are things we need to share with our children to show them that God has been with us. God has taken care of us. Obviously, as children are growing up, as long as parents are cool, calm, and collected, guess what? Children are going to be pretty much the same way. When parents start freaking out, guess what? Children are going to go crazy, right? But they need to see in us, and we need to see in each other. Again, this is not just about children. We need to see in each other the fortitude that faith allows us to have in our lives, right? There's a lot of people going through a lot of different things in their lives, and many of you have gone through things, and I know about some of them, and my faith is increased because of where you guys are standing, the battles you're fighting. Some of you get here and are barely health-wise come walking in, but you're here. And that's encouraging to everyone that you're here. Because we as a body of believers, as a family, we learn from each other. We can do that in this level with our children and teach them these things. But as a body of believers, we learn from each other. There's things that we were going through that we get to share with each other those things and learn from one another. We need to continue to do that. And so we educate one another and are encouraged by one another. Just the presence of being here tonight, for example. But we need to make sure we're educating our children about what is most important. And when they ask questions, we don't brush them off, that we answer those questions. We also need to be examples. And that's maybe sometimes the most difficult. All right, being examples. Are children perceptive? Yes, like scarily so. Like there are things they understand or know at a very young age. It's like, how did you know that? I thought we were hiding this better, right? I didn't think you knew how to spell. So, you know, like there's things that they learn and they're perceptive. They know, right? They know certain things. And we need to make sure that we're taking advantage of that and teaching them. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the rest of that, you know, is basically a joke, the rest of that question, right? When he says, well, you can choose you this day who you're going to serve. You can serve the gods that we just conquered, if you want to, right? I mean, that's how it almost reads. Or you can serve the gods of Egypt that we sort of conquered also. Or you can serve the Lord, all caps, Yahweh. You can serve the Lord. Was it a real question? I mean, sort of, it was a question, but is it a simple answer, right? That's almost like a Sunday school answer, right? Like Sunday school answers are like Jesus, God, and love. Those are the top three. So this is, we are going to serve the Lord. Choose you this day. Make a decision who you're going to serve. And you know what? When you make a decision like that, you're going to have to make it over and over and over again, right? You don't just make it once and like control, delete, and copy and paste, and it's done for the rest of your life. You every day wake up and say, I'm going to serve the Lord this day. And we need to make sure that our children are seeing that in us. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world around us. When the saints assemble together, we are going to be a part of the saints assembling together. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter what they are doing or what they say, right? We're going to do what God says because we have chosen to serve Him, and we will serve the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. And he says this in the context of, I'm going to do the things that I need to do to make sure I'm not being a stumbling block to the faith of others. And because of that, I'm imitating Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. And we should be able to say the same thing to our children. Imitate me most of the time. Right? We should be able to be examples to our children in all times. And they're probably our biggest audience, right? Because they see us even when we're not faking it, right? They see us when we're not in the foyer with all smiles, right? They see us in all times, in all places, right? And so they're our biggest audience. We need to make sure that we're doing that. And again, we need to be real with each other in understanding that, you know, we're going to have times that are our struggle, but we need to, as much as possible, be the type of people that we can say this to others, that we can imitate Christ and show that to other people. And we need to encourage children. And maybe as we look at these passages about encouragement, we might not say in the word or use the word encourage in this way. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Is that encouragement? That's not, you know, that's not like a sticker or, you know, piece of candy kind of encouragement, is it? It's the encouragement that moves children into the type of action that they're supposed to. Now, this obviously was within the context of teaching children first and then reinforcing it with, you know, as the text says here, with the rod if they're not obeying these things. But it's not as popular as it used to be, right? How many of you had to pick your switch? First of all, who even knows what a switch is? Anybody know what a switch is? Some of you are raising your hands. How many of you had to pick the switch? I remember the first time that happened. And what do you do when you pick the switch the first time? You go and you get the little one, right? Because this isn't going to hurt. Oh, man. It stings. Like, it whips through the air whenever. And it, like, wraps around your leg. So, you know, be careful on length on those, too. But anyway, so those are things that aren't as popular as they used to be. But Hebrews chapter 12 tells us what it's for. Hebrews chapter 12, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not discipline? This is natural. It's supposed to happen, right? All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. Obviously, or it wouldn't be discipline, right? If your children are laughing after the rod, then you didn't do it right, right? Something went wrong, right? But sorrowfully, right? Yet those who have been trained, and this is very important, those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields peaceable fruit of righteousness. The end game is training children. As children, we think the end game is to torture us, right? It is by no means encouragement. But the end game is to train children in the way they should go. And sometimes things need to be reinforced in this way. And God says, this is what happens. God says, I do this with you. If you don't receive my instruction, then you are not my child. You are not my child. And so that's something that we need to keep in mind. But also Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. There is a discipline that's too far. There is a discipline that is too far and will break the will of children and will break them. And it is not appropriate, and we would not go there and not encourage anybody to go there, obviously. But we need to bring things into perspective and that bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And so those are things that we need to keep in mind as far as encouraging our children. And lastly, we need to make sure that those things are being embodied in those around us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well. We see this kind of family lineage of these things that are passed down and embodying what it is to, in that case, to be a follower of God and to teach those to young Timothy. In Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, likewise urge the young men to be sensible. In all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds, and with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. So our example, our embodiment of who we are, needs to be that there will be nothing that can be said evil about us, that in all things that we will be examples of doctrine, dignified, sound in speech. I mean, everything that we are is brought under control, not to glorify us, but to glorify God, so that God cannot be spoken ill about in any way. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. And I think of this in a way that we sometimes, maybe I'm serving God with my all, except I have this one piece reserved over here that I haven't quite given to God yet? We make provisions maybe in some areas to continue in some things we know we need to let go of. But in order to fully embody what it means to be a Christian, we need to make sure we're putting those things away, that we don't allow stumbling blocks to be in our lives. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about putting away the sin and the weight that so easily besets us. And there are things that are in our lives that maybe in and of themselves are not a sin, but maybe it is a weight that is keeping us from fully serving God in the way that we should. And make sure that we put those things away in the way that we try to embody Christ and embody those things. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. If I put my mind in the right place, the body's going to follow. If I put my mind where it needs to be, and I'm focusing on those things, and I renew how I think, the body will follow, right? That's basic. But that is really where the struggle is. The battleground that we fight is not out on some far-flung country. The battleground that we fight is in our own minds. The doubts that are there, the temptations that are there, the things that are the influences that are going on around us, this is a daily battle in our lives to keep our minds focused on what it is to serve God and keep our minds focused on Him. And that's where the battle is. And when that is brought into subjection, the body will follow with it. The habits that need to be formed will follow with it. But again, that's something that as we teach our children to do, we model those things, and we together work on those things. A lot of times, maybe we try and do this on our own for various reasons, for guilt, for shame, for being able to talk to anybody about this. Does anybody have the same problem I do? Nobody has the same kind of thing. I bet if we really were honest, a lot of us are dealing with the very same things. People of God have dealt with the same things forever. If you read the Psalms of David, he's dealt with the same things that I've dealt with. I mean, I'm not fighting battles or anything like that, but as far as the basic human heart issues that David battles with, we've all dealt with doubt, right? We've all dealt where we felt attacked. We've all dealt with situations where we feel our body is frail and there's nothing we can do. We felt alone. So many things the Bible addresses that we as humanity have dealt with. But we serve a God who understands those things intimately. We serve a God who came to earth and took on flesh, so that he went through the same things, but without sin. And so we can pray to a God and talk to him about those things. So as we close tonight, we need to make sure that if we're to raise up children in the way this should go, we educate, we example, we encourage, and we embody. In the same way, if we as a body of Christ need to make sure that we're doing these things. If I want to grow spiritually, these are things that I'm doing in my life. These are things that are happening in my life. And lastly, tonight, if maybe you need to make a choice about what it is to be a Christian, put on Christ in baptism, there's things that you need to do. Obviously, you need to believe, we need to repent, we need to confess before men, and we need to be baptized in the watery grave and come up, rise to walk in newness of life. You don't get a new life, Romans chapter 6, until you rise up from baptism. And these are all things that we can be transformed to help us renew the mind to follow after God. So this evening, if you need to renew your mind and put on Christ and put away sin and be washed clean, you can do that this evening as we come and as we stand and sing.